MoinesLocalLive.com are those of the host and the callers and not necessarily those of the MoinesLocalLive.com, its staff, its management, the cleaning crew, the electric guy, the guy who cuts our grass, the guy who fixes our van, the woman who brings us cookies, the man who will work for food on the corner, or anyone else of sound mind. Should you be offended, provoked, intimidated, confused, or just made to think independently, call 515-327-1007 or log on to DesMoinesLocalLive.com and be part of Des Moines Local Live.
Everybody, yeah. Everybody, just get into it. It's so fun. Get it started. Get it started. Get it started. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started.
You can reach your host right now at DesMoinesLocalLive.com or call 515-327-1007. 515-327-1007. You're listening to DesMoinesLocalLive.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Insight on Business, your daily dose of information with advertising, marketing, consumer trends, and best business practices. Thanks very much for joining us. We're so proud that you found us and you're along for the ride for the next hour, and looks like 12 minutes or so, 1 hour and 12 minutes. Some technical difficulties on this side. For some reason, we lost our audio and video, just went boom. But we're back, we're up, and we are with you live and in person. Thanks so very much for joining us. We are unable to utilize Twitter at this time, ladies and gentlemen. So if you have the opportunity to join us on the chat, that would probably be the best way that you can find us. We are on chat, and you can join us there with your questions and or comments. Insight on Business is part of Des Moines Local Live. We are 55 broadcasters, ladies and gentlemen, bringing you more local live talk radio out of this studio than all of the other terrestrial radio stations in the region combined. We're grateful that you're along with us today. All of this on Insight on Business is being brought to you by our good friends over at NatraTurf. You know, underneath all this snow, underneath all this snow is your lawn. And your lawn is calling out for you to help it kick its chemical dependency problem. And you can do that with NatraTurf.com. That's NatraTurf.com. Also, our friends over at Lotus Moments. Lotus Moments. You know, when was the last time you saw a wedding invitation or a business announcement and you went, wow. Wow. How cool that is. Well, you can do that now with our good friends over I just looked down. I just looked down and I saw Christophe Langelot had just called in on Skype. That was our gentleman that was here yesterday. It's 7 o'clock in the evening over in Great Britain. I just looked down and said, "Wow, Christophe is online with us. That's kind of cool." I'm sorry. You know, it's the ADD. Look, there goes a squirrel. I go, "Wow." Anyway, sorry. Sorry. LotusMoments.com. And Cindy Taylor, ladies and gentlemen, Cindy Taylor can help you get noticed, help your business get noticed. It's ESP for all. That's ESP for all.com. Lonzo, I see that you've got a question that I didn't answer yesterday. Go ahead and pose it. I can't remember. My memory is about as short as other appendages on my body, so I'm apologetic, Lonzo. Unless yours was the question, Alonzo, about the most recognized symbol for, was that it? Yikes! I'm sorry, I can't recall. Please go ahead, ask again, and we shall try to answer. 10 minutes before 1 o'clock. A couple of things I wanted to share with you. Some quick advertising. Okay, it was that question. What is the most recognized symbol? I think you said Texaco. I believe the most recognized symbol worldwide is today is the McDonald's M sign or the Nike Swish, one of the two. You will find those images all over the world. And I believe the most recognized logo is the McDonald's M or the Nike Swish. I don't recall. I think you said Texaco, and I think that may have been the case some time ago. I'm not sure that's with us any longer. But anyway, that's what I think. Do I know? No. I know nothing. Some quick advertising and marketing stories for you. I think that this is kind of cool. Meredith Corporation here in Des Moines is in the national news. Have you heard about this? Meredith Corporation here in Des Moines is taking on Madison Avenue in New York City. What seems to be going on is that Meredith has increased their in-house advertising agency potential and are now touting who as a client? Are you ready for this? Chrysler Corporation. Lol. Yeah. This has been a big shakeup all over the place, ladies and gentlemen, with regard to what's going on in the auto industry for sure, because various moves have been coming out of Detroit, various corporations. They're taking a look at how to spread the wealth around, if you will, as far as advertising agencies and marketing firms. And if, in fact, the story that we got earlier today is true, that Meredith is now touting Chrysler Corporation as one of their agency, not print, but agency clients, that's big news. I mean, that's head-to-head with Madison Avenue and all those folks in Detroit. Hey, you might be interested in this as well. Sears, ladies and gentlemen, Sears is overhauling their Kenmore brand. You know, the Kenmore brand of appliances? Get this. They are overhauling the entire brand purpose to better become more relevant and contemporary to the existing and expanding consumer base. Now, many people under the age of 50 seem to take a look at Kenmore Appliances by Sears, and they're looking at that as grandma's brand. So what Sears and Kenmore have been trying to do is become more relevant to new buyers out there. They are reinventing their brand even as we speak. Now, how are they going to reach out to new consumers? That's the big question, right? Are you ready for the answer? Well, the answer is they're using social media. Loads of stuff going on right now on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. And so we have to ask you again, are you there yet? Hi, Amy Main. Nice to have you aboard. Thanks so very much for watching and being here. The lovely and multi-talented Amy Main. And here's another one for you, another piece of marketing news I thought that you might be interested in. Marketers are reaching out more and more to what? Environmentally conscious moms. Environmentally conscious moms. It's a demographic, by the way, that's growing by leaps and bounds all over the United States. These women are, get this, 22% more likely to consider buying green products and 40% more likely to be able to sit down and tell their friend about their product choice. So the question, obviously, that we have for you, should you be listening, is, golly gee, are you paying attention? Where are you with your green products and services right now? But one of the things you have to remember is don't greenwash. Greenwashing is not a good thing. All right? 22% more likely to consider buying green products. You know, that whole organic / natural world is really embedded in that whole world. You will find these people ravenously brand loyal to their green market items and with a passion tell other people about what they're doing with it. I think that's pretty incredible. And they will share that information in new social media channels and just hanging around with each other. Great, great area to be in. Natural, organic, but you can't greenwash, and we told you about that just the other day. A couple of other things I think were interesting. We saw a news story earlier today that of Twitter, you know, there are millions of tweets that go on each and every day all over the place. Each and every day, millions of people are tweeting what's going on in their life, what's going on in somebody else's life, bringing content to the Internet through Twitter. 51% of those tweets, ladies and gentlemen, are in a language other than English. I mean, it's, you know, we start to think, okay, look, I've got 2,000 followers on Twitter, that's a lot. But when you stop and you think about the enormity of this social media tool we call Twitter, 51% of all of those millions of tweets that go on each and every day are in a language other than English. It kind of puts this whole global specter around this social media world, doesn't it? Have you heard of couch surfing? Here's something new for you. Couchsurfing.org. You want to look it up sometime. It's kind of an interesting thing. Couchsurfing.org is an organization out there that will assist you in finding a place where you can plop down on somebody's couch for a night or two nights or perhaps maybe three nights all over the country. People who are utilizing Couchsurfing.org, 18 to 35, generally a single. They're traveling around. It's kind of a youth hostel kind of a thing, if you will. They're traveling all over the country, and they are bunking out on strangers' couches. The way Couchsurfing.org works, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is you go online and you describe where you're going, what kind of a place you want. There are also ratings for places where other people have stayed in the past. Couchsurfing.org. Maybe your very next trip. For business or pleasure, might want to take on couchsurfing.org. And I understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we get to have a real celebration this coming weekend. Are you aware of this? This coming weekend, ladies and gentlemen, we expect the temperature to reach 30 degrees. Can you imagine that? I mean, we're all just a Twitter on that one, huh? 30 degrees? You got to be kidding me. You know, when we start celebrating 30 degrees, you know that it's been one heck of a long winter. 30 degrees by Sunday, they say here in the capital city of Des Moines. Coming up next, our special guest today is Gary Kubitschek. We're going to sit and visit with Gary online with you about pet food, about Pheasant Fest, about the niches that he's into, about the retail market, about healthy pet foods, about creating pet foods in safe and secure environments, all kinds of things. But the big story here is about nutrition and pet foods. You know, we're all talking about it. As we said in our video tease from earlier today, we are all talking about nutrition, whether it's individuals or even now our pets, how important that is. And here's a company, Country Vet Pet Foods, who has really honed in on this whole healthy dog, healthy pet idea, and they're growing by leaps and bounds all over the country. It's a great Iowa story. The manufacturing facility is located in Sioux City. And we'll talk with Gary Kubitschek. He's the marketing manager and sales manager for Country Vet Pet Foods out of the Sioux City area when we come back. This is Insight on Business. We're grateful that you're along for the ride. Thanks so very much for coming by. We'll be back with more right after this.
From high atop the Hub Tower overlooking the plains of Iowa. Well, actually, it's skywalk level second floor. But still, it's from the Remax.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It is 3 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. My name is Michael Libby. I am your humble host, ever anxious to be able to bring you more news and information about advertising, marketing, consumer trends, or best business practices. We just sent out the tweet. We're kind of working, ladies and gentlemen, with one hand tied behind our back. One of our computers is down and has been for maybe a week or so. And so we're not able to access tweets. So here's where we are. We're sending out our tweets over my BlackBerry saying, hey, what's going on right now as we're talking with Gary Kubitschek from Country Vet Pet Foods. Gary is the sales and marketing manager for Country Vet Pet Foods. And let's put a camera on Gary so you see exactly who he is. There he is, ladies. You're not that scary.
Well, I hope not.
For a Nebraskan.
Easy now. Let's not get personal on this.
Gary and his crew are in town prepping for Pheasant Fest. It's a national pheasant hunters event. With 18,000 people coming into town with shotguns, this is going to be a really exciting place this weekend.
Well, let's hope they'll all bring their shotguns.
Yeah.
They can come, but not
18,000 people, ladies and gentlemen, coming to the Iowa Events Center this weekend. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Pheasant Fest. And we asked Gary to come on over and visit with us a little bit about a host of things that revolve around the pet food industry. I mean, this is an industry, Gary, that it just continues to grow and grow and grow. I mean, people, it's different than what it used to be, isn't it?
It's totally different. You have consumers out there today that are so much more informed than what they were before, and they're asking so many more questions. They want to know so much more about the food that they're feeding their dog, and of course, it's their family member. So it has changed tremendously.
It is their family member, and people are very very cautious about what they're feeding their pets, too. They're very nutritionally, if you will, nutritionally active in finding out what's good for their critters and what may not be.
Well, and I think that's good, Michael. I think it's good that they want to know what to feed them. I'm the same way with my dog and the way we take care of our dogs. Mm-hmm. It, you know, we want to know what we're feeding them and what's in it. And we look at labels and the ingredients and we study up. And that's what even pet food companies have to do. You have to continually study and learn. And I think everybody's done a better job of that, especially with the recall we saw here a few years ago.
Oh, boy, we're going to talk about that, too.
And that really brought that to the forefront for a lot of people to say, hey, what is in my dog food? And we get those questions all the time.
Absolutely. One of the things that we're going to visit with, well, lots of things, we're going to talk about issues that revolve around the pet food industry, Gary, retail distribution of products, the push to healthy living, not only for us, but also our pets. And so we're grateful that you took some time to be here. You and your crew setting up over there for Pheasant Fest?
Yeah, we're getting there. We're not quite done, but it seems like we get a little slower every year, Michael. But we get it done. We'll be ready. We'll be ready for the show tomorrow.
Very good. What time does it all kick off?
Tomorrow they have the parade of dogs at 12 o'clock, and then 1 o'clock is the displays are all open from 1 to 9 tomorrow.
The parade of dogs.
Parade of dogs.
Who would have thought?
They've done that the last time I was in Des Moines. They did that and had a lot of interest in it from a lot of people from their shops and things would stand out and watch the dogs.
It's kind of fun.
All different breeds.
Let's talk a little bit about trade shows. This is move-in day for you, and we've talked about trade shows on this show quite a bit. Move-in day for a trade show, no matter where it is full of lots of opportunity, I think. Is that maybe a good word as you look forward to 3 days of potentially meeting face-to-face your consumers?
I think opportunity is a good word. Exposure. It's an opportunity for people, yes, to come and ask questions, to learn things, to find out more. It's an opportunity for us to basically get more business, to meet some of our customers that we have. We don't always get to see all of our customers. We have a lot of people that feed our food that we've never met face-to-face.
Right.
And this type of a thing, venue, does help that to occur.
With this kind of you're spending a lot of time and energy on this, aren't you, on this show?
Yes.
Yeah. How many people do you think that you'll have the opportunity to come face-to-face with?
Oh, you know, I've never really counted how many people, but if you look at the number of hours that are there, the last time we were in Des Moines, we were constantly talking to people. There was very little downtime. Matter of fact, we have at least 3 people in the booth talking to people constantly from the time it opens to the time it closes. And Des Moines was a great show for us here a few years back. Just tremendous.
It was, wasn't it? Now, you were in Madison, Wisconsin, or Minneapolis?
Last year was Madison, and the year before that was Minneapolis, St. Paul.
And how does something like this compare?
I tell people that, and not just because we're in Des Moines, but Des Moines was probably the best show for our company because this is where we're at. We're a Sioux City-based company, so therefore, you know, we're in Iowa. Our major distribution are in the surrounding states. And so Des Moines really is a big one for us. We had a lot of exposure the last time we were here. Madison, the numbers weren't quite as good.
Mm-hmm.
The interest was pretty good. The St. Paul show, we had a lot of local people. I would say the support from the local community in Minneapolis was probably bigger than maybe Des Moines. Des Moines, we seem to get people traveling a lot farther. I don't know if it's the ease of coming here or getting to the event center or what drives the people to come here. But for us, this has really been a really good show. And Omaha is another one that's been good, and I guess it goes there next year. So
now, in Omaha?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Gary Kubicek, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. He's from Country Vet Pet Foods. You can see that on his shirt collar, or on his shirt, as a matter of fact. You know, with trade shows, you guys go through how many trade shows do you do in a year for Country Vet alone?
Oh, none as big as this. This is really our big one, Michael. We will do probably 20 to 30 trade shows. It goes from things like small banquets to Pheasant Fest, basically.
Uh-huh.
We do some Quails Forever, some Ducks Unlimited shows also. So with our company, we also have horse feed that we make.
Correct.
So therefore, we'll go to some horse shows also that we get into. That's a whole new segment
compared
to our pet food.
Yeah. If you were to take a percentage, and we're talking about trade shows, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, with Gary Kubicek. Why? Well, because Pheasant Fest is going on this weekend here in Des Moines. It's a huge show, not only for you, but for loads of people that come in. I think they've got 300-400 different people that come in and ply their wares at this for the 18,000 people that will be here this coming weekend. But so trade shows are a way to go out there and meet the public. Over your advertising budget that you take a look at, about what percentage are you spending, you think, on trade shows?
Actually, our trade shows, we're a little different because we do everything with our trade show. We do all the setup and we do all the hauling and those types of things. Percentage of our budget is probably maybe that 5% of our budget. As far as hours go, we spend a lot of hours on it. But as far as the expense of the show, it's not as high as some other companies might be. If you go down to the show, you'll see some of these bring in big semis.
Oh, sure.
They have companies that come in and set it up. There's a booth right beside ours that they're setting up TVs and video equipment and
really?
Things. Oh, yeah. They get pretty elaborate. So you look at advertising budgets for some others, probably would be higher. But we're more of a regional company, so we don't get to as many national trade shows as some other people would.
Well, then, you know, if you're spending and of course, I kind of know. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you, Country Vet is one of our clients, and so I know a little bit more about this than what I'm letting on. But a significant portion of your advertising marketing budget does go to trade shows and travel and those types of events.
When you look at the advertising and everything that we do, yes, I mean, it's higher than that. We may get into the 20% range, depending on what you put into that area.
Right. So I guess now my follow-up question to that is, it's really important then, isn't it? For you to not only have a good presence where it is, but also follow up and making sure that you connect with your consumers.
Yes, and that was the thing about Des Moines when we were here the last time. We're a relatively young company in a lot of areas.
Sure.
We don't have distribution as widespread as we'd like. And last time we saw a lot of that after the show where people said, we'd like to try your food, or we sent them home with some food and they tried it, or we set up new dealers because of it. And that's, for us as a company, that really helped us to broaden our distribution into Illinois and up into Wisconsin. We have a far greater presence in Wisconsin today because of, and I go back to even the last time that was in Des Moines. So, yes, I mean, the follow-up afterward is critical for it, making sure those people are satisfied with what we gave them or what we talked to them about, making sure that they get some food in their hands.
Absolutely. Gary Kubicek, ladies and gentlemen, he is our guest for the entire hour. We're going to be spending talking about not only trade shows, but also marketing a regional company as successful as what Country Vet has been able to be. And we're going to spend time talking about one of your stars that you're bringing in. You're bringing in Lyle Steinman for a couple of seminars. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to tell everybody who Lyle Steinman is. I'll let you go ahead and make that mention. Who is Lyle Steinman, and why is he important to you guys?
Lyle Steinman's a professional trainer.
Right.
He's from Stuartsville, Gower, Missouri. He's trained dogs for a number of years. He's just been one of the leading trainers, I guess you might label him as, in the Super Retriever Series. He's got involved with Super Retriever Series, which is another event that trainers will participate in. He got involved with it, this would be about 4 years ago now.
Uh-huh.
And we started working with Lyle at that time on our dog food. We basically said, Lyle, would you like to try our dog food, see how it works? And he was using a competitive brand, and he started using it. He got involved with Super Retriever, and now I would say that he's probably the leading trainer in the Super Retriever series. And I don't think you'd have too many people say that he wasn't, as last year in the finals, he had the top three dogs, and he placed 1, 2, 3, which is unheard of in any competitive event. So he's been very successful, well-recognized trainer. People from all over the country know Lyle as far as in the dog training industry.
But he is a huge factor. And this whole Super Retriever series, I think, is, if folks aren't familiar with it, it's superretrievers.com, I believe it is. And you can go there and see what these people put these dogs through. The training is rigorous. And so the nutrition has got to be top-notch that they put. And your guy, Lyle Steinman, comes in 1, 2, and 3 this last year. That's pretty good for you guys.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
It's a lot of people recognize that. And we get a lot of calls saying, "What's Lyle feeding?" Yeah, so it does help us.
And
a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have to also share with you that Lyle Steinman is one of the perfect, if you will, spokespeople. Because we've worked with spokespeople on and off for years and years and years, and people sometimes just take the money and run. Lyle Steinman is the guy that goes the extra mile, and he always has with us, Gary, and I think you've got one of the best right there.
Well, the other thing, too, Michael, is he's so willing to help other people, too. I mean, he'll go out of his way on these seminars. As a matter of fact, I was just talking to him walking over here, and he was concerned about, talking about the right things and getting the people there. And I think it's important to sit and listen to Lyle and ask him questions. I mean, he's so helpful, and he's willing to help anybody get started. He has his own seminars at his place that he puts on for people from beginners to advanced trainers. Been to his seminars at his place, and he just does a phenomenal job with people.
Good guy. Lyle Steinman, ladies and gentlemen, is his name. He's out of Stuartsville, Missouri, if I remember correctly, somewhere down there near St. Joseph, Missouri.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Stomping grounds, if you will. My name is Michael Libby. This is Insight on Business. Our special guest today is Gary Kubicek. He is the sales and marketing manager for our friends over at Country Vet Pet Foods. And when we come back, we're going to talk about this whole thing about nutrition, Gary, because that's one of the reasons that we really brought you in here. We want to find out, what in the world is the retail marketplace talking about? What are consumers talking about? Are they really all this intent on proper nutrition for their dogs like we believe that they are? And then we've got some other issues we're going to talk about and bring in here about the whole melamine thing a couple of years ago and how you guys were able to dodge that bullet, what it means to have whatever food that you're ingesting, ladies and gentlemen, or what you're giving to your dogs. Is it safe? I mean, does it come from a facility that you know is trustworthy? We'll talk about all those things and a whole bunch more when we continue. This is Insight on Business, part of Des Moines Local Live. We'll be back with more on Gary Kubicek right after this.
Live from our studios on the Skywalk in the Hub Tower in beautiful downtown Des Moines, this is Des Moines Local Live.com. So, have you heard the difference? That's right. Max World is now just at Des Moines Local Live.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Play those drums, dude. Love the bumper music. Of course, you know that by now. We've been doing that for a long time. You know, I was just visiting with our guest Gary, who Gary, you didn't really know much about what we were doing here, did you?
Well, no, I learn more about you every day, Michael.
We're sitting in our studio, ladies and gentlemen. And if you've had the opportunity to come down here on the Skywalk, we are in the 600 block of Walnut, overlooking the beautiful Skywalk and the Remax Real Estate Concepts studio. And we have this huge window, and here's the view that I get as I look out on the Skywalk system here in downtown Des Moines. And there are 55 broadcasters that are part of this, and we're on Sunday through Sunday, for hours of broadcasting each and every day. And so, yeah, it is kind of fun, and I guess we're kind of in the news business, kind of.
I don't know. I don't know what the hell we're doing some days.
Let's talk food and nutrition. Gary Kubicek is that gentleman, ladies and gentlemen. He is with Country Vet Pet Foods, and he travels all over the country talking to people who are in retail business, who are in the wholesale business. What are you finding out there? What's the mood of the country right now? Because you do travel around a lot, Gary. What's going on?
Actually, the pet food industry, if you look at that specifically, is very good.
It is good.
It's very good. It's interesting because there are so many people and so many businesses that are looking at new products, always introducing new products, new ideas, and there's continually more people that are trying to make another food or trying to make a new treat,
right.
A new idea. But the interest is super high. The industry is good. And of course you see so much more about the pet food industry today than you did 10 years ago or 5 years ago.
There's more awareness.
It's so much. And people want to know so much. People, you take, Westminster, Look at the number of people that watch that now and the interest in that and the exposure that they have compared to a number of years ago. So you see so much more, and it's exciting too. I mean, it's neat to learn more, to see dogs. If you're a pet lover, if you like dogs and cats and companion animals, I mean, just a great industry to be in. Just so much enthusiasm and excitement, and you know, I would say today the breeder world is a little tough. I mean, we're not seeing the number of dogs being purchased like they were. We see some of these adoption agencies having some difficult times. We work with some people out in California that run a Gentle Giants Rescue.
Right.
That talking with the gentleman, he indicated that, you know, just the interest was down, and they haven't had as many dogs being adopted as they did before. But the people that have dogs, they still want pets.
Sure.
They still want that companion, and so it is an exciting time.
Brett from over at Omaha has just chimed in. He said now he's with Midwest Laboratories over in Omaha.
Yes.
And you know of Midwest Laboratories?
Yes.
At all? Yeah,
yes.
The Omaha guys. Pet food and pet treat business, he says, is huge. It's going major strong for his company. In 2010, he says it's a very exciting business to be in. You got to agree with that.
I mean, it is, and you especially the people that are really involved with it and are looking to, you know, bring out new products and bring out new ideas. And with Midwest Labs, yes, I would think they would be seeing a lot of that too.
Yeah, and they do testing.
Yes,
boy, and were they important a couple of years ago?
Oh, wow. Yes.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure that you remember when thousands of the dogs were sick and injured, killed. It was a critical thing in your industry, this whole melamine scare that went on. And it affected so many people all across the country. What do consumers need to be aware of when going forward?
Well, at that time, I mean, of course, it was something that came out. It hit the canned industry, and we don't have canned pet foods, but so that wasn't part of it. But for us, but yet, it was something that when it come out, it was like, do you have melamine in your dog food or in your cat food? I mean, it was and people, it was something that people didn't totally understand. I mean, there had been a melamine scare a number of years ago in wheat. That had come out, but never in the pet industry the way this come out. So we were bombarded with a number of people. Do you have, in this case, Chinese products in your dog food?
And you were asked that a lot.
Oh, constantly. A lot of calls and you know, people on the website asking us, do you import any ingredients for your pet foods, and what do you put in it, and do you have any melamine in yours? And I, and of course, we didn't, because we weren't importing those ingredients for our pet foods at the time. And of course, from there, the sad thing was that it may have hit the canned industry. Then after that, we were seeing it in also the dry dog food and the cat foods.
Well, that
a number of things after that.
Right, I was going to come in on that. There was a whole peanut butter scare even with salmonella.
Oh, yes.
A little
bit
later on, wasn't there?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we make a peanut butter biscuit, and we had people saying, do you have peanut butter from this plant or any of these plants? And no, we didn't in ours, but yes, it's amazing how people jump right on top of this and ask those questions, which I admire them. I mean, they're being aware of what's going on. They want to know. They don't want to feed the wrong thing to their pets. And so, yes, it was a challenging time, and you had to really jump on the bandwagon and say, okay, let's look at all these ingredients. Let's see where they're coming from, which, you know, we were confident in what we were buying. But something like this, I mean, it hit those pet food companies that were affected unexpectedly.
Yeah.
They didn't have a clue.
No, they didn't have a clue. And unfortunately, what happened, it took some of them down.
Yes, some of them recovered pretty well. It's surprising how well they recovered. I was impressed. They did an awfully nice job of coming back, and it wasn't their fault. Yeah. I mean, they were buying something they believed was healthy for their dog, and it was a quality ingredient. And
However. Yeah, one of the things, and so many people have asked me about this melamine. What is it? Well, it gives false protein levels, doesn't it?
It raises the protein.
It raises the chemical test. Mm-hmm. It says, okay, we've got a higher amount of protein in whatever this thing is that we're going to test than there actually is. And so that was was it a little bit criminal?
I suppose you could probably say that.
Yeah,
you know,
I think it
comes down to somebody somewhere made this decision, and a lot of people that were doing this didn't know it. So yes, it was criminal, and I guess some people were punished for it.
Oh yeah, they were.
To what level, I'm not sure, but they were punished for it.
Well, I suspect if you were the Chinese guy that got caught, he's probably not seen the light of day for a while.
Well, and I don't think he's working.
But, the other interesting thing about that is, you know, we don't want to pick on anybody necessarily, but we take a look at how many stories have we had over the past year alone that has involved China, and from lead paint on toys to... you know, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. And that's another, perhaps, thought process, Gary. I mean, your pet food is made here in the United States, made here in the Midwest.
Yes.
At a facility that's, what is it, a
safe feed
feed facility. What does that mean?
Basically, it's a certification.
Okay.
There's different certifications for your facility. Ours is a safe feed, safe food facility. You can get certified by a number of different agencies that basically say you're following proper good management practices in manufacturing your food.
Okay, I've got a question in the chat here, and I ask you. It says they've been on your website.
Good.
Your products
are
extruded. I heard that extrusion takes out nutrients. Is that right? Extrusion?
No, extrusion is a process. What it does is it processes the food for the dogs and cats to make it more digestible. Other processes out there, you can grind and mix a product. You can pellet a product. But the reason that these are extruded, it goes through a process where we actually take the ingredients, we grind them all up, and then we run them through this process where there's heat and moisture that's applied to it. And then what it does, it's cooked. And so if you're saying it takes nutrition out of it, there are some ingredients that you have to be sensitive to. For example, a probiotic. If you would put a probiotic
it would cook it out, wouldn't it?
It would kill it off,
yeah.
Yes. So what you do in those situations is you process those ingredients, you know, the grains, the meat, proteins, the vitamins, minerals, and you process those through, but then you apply some of these things on the outside of your kibble, of your dog food. Same thing like fat that can be applied to the outside. You can add, like I say, probiotics is something you can add to the outside. And those things, if you would run it through that process, yes, you would kill them off and they would be ineffective. So that's all part of the process that you have to understand.
So I think what you may not have... You may have only heard half of the story, in other words.
Right.
It extrusion, this process that you have, can, in fact, kill off some of the nutrient value,
right.
But those nutrient values are then added after the fact.
Yes.
Yeah. So you
can actually look at extrusion. It's actually starting the digestion process for the dog or for the cat. And that's why it's extruded, and that's why people have used extrusion for pets, because it helps that
digestive process. So is digestibility, and I don't know, you know, I only have a house full of dogs. Anyway, does digestibility, how much does that factor into people's decisions when they're making choices?
Yeah, digestibility is huge.
Really?
Yes. And people, one of the ways people look at digestibility is how much they have to clean up after their pet. But it's huge. People like to see that digestibility up to that 80-90%. And basically what that does is you feed less and you clean up less. You still get the nutrition into the animal, but you don't have as much cleanup afterwards. So yes, digestibility is huge in their selection process. We get that every day. What's the digestibility of your premium line, or what's the digestibility of your economy line? And typically the lines that are less expensive, and it's not always the case, but the less expensive lines have lower digestibility. There'll be more cleanup from them, especially with household dogs. It becomes very, very important.
Sorry, I'm on the phone right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Yeah, you need to just keep talking, Gary.
No,
hold on, Jerry. I'm playing secretary at the present time.
You know, Michael, you amaze me how you multitask. I think he's ordering lunch at the same time we're talking about everything else. But one of the things, if you look at some of these pet foods, you'll see some higher fiber in some of the pet foods. And fiber isn't bad for dogs.
Yeah.
You don't want to get to a point where we get people say, okay, I just want to feed just a little bit, and I want to get a little bit out. Well, you still need this digestibility. It's still important to the dog, so you still need to feed some fiber to your dog. It's the same thing with people. So, yes, digestibility is a big, big issue in
interesting. Another question back on the whole issue of nutrients. You know, isn't it interesting? We talk about these nutrients, and I thought, well, this is a question that we're going to throw out there, and we've got a whole chat room now full of people wanting to know about nutritional issues with their dog. Are the nutrients that are being added after the extrusion process, are they natural?
Are they natural?
Yeah.
They don't necessarily have to be.
Okay.
You know, you have... one thing that you may add, and this can be added before the extrusion process or after, is things like an antioxidant. You want to stabilize that dog food or that cat food so that it doesn't turn rancid. So there's some of those things. There's some synthetic things out there that that work very well. They aren't harmful to the dog. I mean, they're approved to be used. There are some things that are synthetic. I mean, yeah, there's natural things that you can use. There's a natural antioxidant that you might put on afterward. There's a natural antioxidant you might put in right in with the product, too, and go through the extrusion process.
Chemistry has a great deal to play with this, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes.
And at your facility, you've got chemists that look at all this stuff?
We have nutritionists, and we have tech support people, and we have quality control people that you're constantly testing to identify quality ingredients, quality output. I mean, we're constantly testing our dog food after we make it for proteins, fats, fiber, for making sure that it's stable once it goes out.
Gary Kubicek, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest in studio today. He is the marketing and sales manager for a group called Country Vet Pet Foods. Their manufacturing plant is south of Sioux City, just a little ways, and busy making all kinds of things over there. He's our guest for the remainder of the hour. It's now 25 minutes before 2 o'clock. We've got another question. Comes in. Gary, lots of consumers create their own pet treats. You know, there are consumers out there that create their own stuff.
Yes.
You know, their own
stuff. That's good.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, I had a cookbook for horse treats, you know, that was published years ago. It's pretty interesting stuff. What advice, though, is this question? What advice would you give someone just starting out who might want to create their own pet treats? What do they have to watch out for?
Wow. Where do you want me to start? Oh, I think the thing is that I always tell people is that you need to have a complete product. You need to have a complete program, and that involves you got to have some nutrition in it. You've got to have quality ingredients, and there's so many things that affect that. You know, there's I listen to people all the time and that come up with ideas and questions and. Some of the things they come up with, Michael, it's not possible. You know, people say, well, I want to feed fresh meat. Well, fresh meat's fine, but what about the vitamins and minerals? What about the total nutritional package? And I think you really have to do a good job of saying, you know, what nutrition do I want to get into my pet? And so I always tell people, look at a complete package, and that goes in with all the ingredients, with all the balancing these formulas. I see people that say, well, I want to feed them some vegetables, and I want to feed them some meat, and I want to feed them these. I think back of a TV show that this was a whole malamine scare, and Oprah had a section on feeding her dog, and she went through the whole process. Well, I add these vegetables and I add this meat, and here's my veterinarian. I'm thinking, well, you know, it may work for her, but you really need to understand why you're doing that. If you're putting a chicken protein into it, why are you putting a chicken protein? Is it because everybody says pork protein's bad or beef's bad?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and which it isn't. And so you got to be a little careful, because the other thing that has really influenced a lot of people is marketing by pet food companies. And at one time, I had a gentleman tell me, I say, you know, pet foods is 90% marketing and 10% science, which I think we've changed that over the last 5 years. But there still is a lot of marketing, and what'll happen?
Tons of marketing.
Oh, you'll see some pet foods out there. I had a lady the other day who says, you know, well, I'm buying X brand pet food, and she says, oh, it's really expensive, but it's really good. And I says, do you realize what you're getting? I says, you know, you can take that label off that pet food, and you can find others out there. You know, it says that pet food is marketed with a whole lot of marketing dollars,
right.
And so you've got to be a little careful with that. So it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort to really learn about what you want to get out of your pet food, and just, you know, mixing it up in a batch at home sometimes can get you in a little trouble too.
I would imagine so. A couple of other people have chimed in on this whole thing about making up your own pet treats. Said John says, don't use chocolate.
I like John.
And trout fishing in America says, or onions. Don't use chocolate or onions. Thanks very much. One individual said, why are we so passionate about our critters and our food? And someone else said, because they are our kids, our babies. There is this real issue, isn't there, about how we treat our pets. It's so different, I think, than what it was by grandparents' day. I mean, dogs and cats and things were okay, but they weren't family members like this.
I'm a victim. We've got a Yorkie at home that we raised two daughters, and this is our third daughter, and it's a family member. I mean,
I hear you.
I tell you what, it's hard to look away from your pet when you walk in the house, comes running up to you, and just as excited as can be, you know.
I know.
My wife's not even that excited to see me when I come in the
door. Diane loves you. After 30-some years, she should. Ladies and gentlemen, our special guest, Gary Kubitschek. He's the sales and marketing manager for Country Vet Pet Foods. I love that name, Country Vet. And it just is so warm and inviting. Country Vet Pet Foods, it's manufactured just south of Sioux City. We're going to continue our discussion with Gary when we come back. Where are we going here? Give you a little heads up. I want to talk a little bit about, you mentioned marketing just a little bit ago. That's, of course, what we do. But I want to spend some time on packaging. How important is packaging? How important is the look? How important is it to the consumer, do you think? Also want to spend some time on retail. You know, what are retail people looking for maybe in future content? What kinds of things are you creating up there that that will meet consumer demands? We'll talk more with Gary Kubitschek when we come back. This is Insight on Business, 90 minutes of valuable conversation about advertising, marketing, consumer trends, and best business practices. We're with you every day, Monday through Thursday, 12:30 until 2 o'clock right here as part of Des Moines Local Live. Thanks so very much. We'll be right back.
Live from our studios on the Skywalk in the Hub Tower in beautiful downtown Des Moines, this is Des Moines Local Live.
Hi, this is Mike Benny.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard. This is Insight on Business. We're here each and every day, Monday through Thursday, where we share with you the best practices as they relate to advertising, marketing, consumer trends, and best business practices. Our guest today is Gary Kubitschek. He is the sales and marketing manager for Country Vet Pet Foods. When we talk about consumer trends, Gary, we've really talked about those consumer trends right now. It's about nutrition. It's about safe food for our critters. It is really a consumer trend going to organics and natural and all.
Yes.
I mean, the questions that we've had
all
relate back to that, don't they?
Yes, they do.
I am that consumer trend. And, of course, if you're following, ladies and gentlemen, the consumer trend that's out there, you're highly more likely to be successful. Another question up here. What was the best marketing channel? Huh, this is interesting. What? Our Omaha connection says we have a Yorkie, too. What was the best marketing channel you used to get your product sold on a regional or national basis? What was the best marketing channel?
Actually, it's a good question. For us as a company, when we first got into the pet food business, we had distributed pet foods for 30-plus years. And when we actually started making our own pet food, the thing that we did is we went after the sporting dog industry. And actually, it's kind of ironic. We're here at Pheasant Fest, and what we did was we started going to a lot of Pheasants Forever banquets. We supported their banquets. We set up a little booth at the banquet, talked to those people that would be interested in our product, and that's where we started. I mean, our first entry into the pet food business was into the sporting dog business, and we knew that we needed to communicate with those people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like our boss says, you know, he says you sell one bag at a time, and that's basically what we did.
You have been doing that.
Yeah. It wasn't like, well, we put it in this place, and all of a sudden everybody's buying it, but it was more of that face-to-face marketing that we started out with, because it's a big challenge. The thing is about marketing pet foods and coming out with a new pet food is these people have a whole lot of shelf space, but those shelves are all full.
I was going to ask you that question.
There's not an empty spot mm-hmm. on that. So whenever you get into a new venue, if you get into a new store, whether it be a grocery store or mass a merchandising store, whatever, you've got to knock somebody out.
Right.
And we work on that constantly every day of saying, you know, what can we do to get into that spot? And basically what you do is you develop trust in someone saying, hey, yes, it looks like a good program, looks like a good product. We'll give you a chance. And then you have to prove yourself. And that is getting the consumer to come in and buy it. So that was a thing that was our most successful thing early on. Today, there's a lot of things that affect our marketing that makes it successful, and it's these types of things. It's these types of programs where we come to Pheasant Fest. It's Pheasants Forever. And then when we expand it out into more of the urban market, then we had to get into better packaging.
Yeah.
We had to make it more appealing. We've had tremendous strides in the farm and fleet market this last year, and because of packaging and those types of things. But and we've talked about this. I mean, you've helped us develop these, Michael. I mean,
sure.
You've been right in the middle of this, which is so, so critical. And I guess, you know, a pat on the back to you because of the things that you bring to the table and the marketing. But you always have to keep looking out there, like, what will work? What do consumers want? What are the needs and what are they asking for? But not only that, you have to bring things to them and say, hey, this is something that is good. This is something that will work for you. And whether it's a new ingredient or new program for the consumer, you have to bring some of that information, too, and you have to bring that to new customers.
Absolutely. Gary Kubicek, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. Brent Av follows up, and he says, very cool, specific target marketing, sporting dogs. Thanks, he says. You always need, he says, to differentiate yourselves from the rest of the market. That was pretty awesome decision on your part. So kudos from the folks in Omaha saying, wow, that's pretty cool. you never know. Let's spend a couple of seconds on this issue about shelf space. Your company over the past several years has brought all kinds of new things to market, not only in dog and cat food, but in other markets. We'll talk about that in a second. But and you've had a great track record in bringing new things to market. How long from conception, Gary, until it actually gets on the shelf, does it take you guys?
We have just, at the show here, we're introducing a new product, Sportsman Select. And that product has been in the development. And typically, you know, we'd like to come to market a little sooner, but it's been about 3 years. Working on that product. And a lot of it is, you know, the right product,
right.
With the right ingredients, and then get a right price point. And, you know, and then plus, of course, you always test market it, so you have to go through that. But then there was a relatively easy one to bring to the market because of the formulation and the product that we put out was a big hit from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it a little easier.
Well, it was coming back into your home turf, if
yes.
you will.
Yes.
I mean, the whole sporting dog market, and now you're able to give them a price point product
right.
that fits their whole rationale. 3 years, huh? 3 years? Why do you want me to create the bag in 3 weeks?
Now, let's not get into those.
I'm sorry. 3 years.
That's because you put it off. You put it off too long. I'd have changed my mind, even if I would have started sooner. So, Gary Kubitschek, ladies and gentlemen. 3 years. You gave me 3 weeks to come up with a bag design, for crying out loud.
Sportsman Select is a product, but is this a preview for you here in town?
Yes.
Yeah, the first time.
Yep, we're just coming out. We just introduced it here. Actually made the first product available to our customers middle of January. So
I do have a bag, don't I? Do I have a bag? No, I've got the cat food bag.
I send you bags. Right, you still don't even remember.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That should have been a high-impact bag, too. Orange?
It is a high-impact bag. Very cool. So it takes a long time to go from product development to finally to the shelves. One of the things I think many people don't understand is that all the time this is in development, all the time that you're testing the product, all the time that you're putting it out there in front of somebody, all the time that you're formulating the product, because you guys, and I know, ladies and gentlemen, I can stand here and say amen, hallelujah on this. These people are crazy anal about your formulation process. You guys are. I mean, they are very intricate with all of the details that they have on their packaging. And I guess you have to do that, don't you?
Yes, you do. Because we've got guidelines we've got to follow, and we're regulated on what we can put on the package, what we can't, ingredients we can use, and.
Yep. I forgot where I was going. Oh, there's another question in the chat. What other kinds of animal foods do you make?
Oh, we also make horse feed. We've got a line of horse feed that Marin Foal, the senior, the performance horses, that's an extruded product, which is a little unique in the horse industry because it doesn't fit into the pelleted feeds and the sweet feeds or the texturized feeds. So it is a little unique, and there's not a lot of people that do that, but it's been very, very good for us, a product that works very well. We also make fish food, floating fish food that continues to grow for us. We also make biscuits, dog biscuits, that is a nutritional biscuit that's a little different than a lot of the biscuits that are out there. We also have gotten into the horse treat business here just recently.
You know, that whole world of horses as companion animals, you know, continues to grow.
Yes.
And we are, I know, ladies and gentlemen, this sounds really weird, but how many horse treats have we done now? Three or four?
Well, it'd be three.
Three.
We just got matched. Like, we got the one out. We got it introduced, and we got the other two.
Carrots
just,
and spice, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. We've got apple cinnamon, carrots and spice, and then alfalfa mint that are coming out now.
Isn't that something? And it all emanates, ladies and gentlemen. All this stuff comes out of Iowa, and it takes the rest of the nation by storm. Gary Kubitschek, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest in studio. We've got 5 minutes now before the top of the hour. Coming up at the top of the hour, Rabbi David Kaufman and the whole Megillah. He'll take you for 2 hours down a stretch of road that talks about the Middle East, Israel, and ethics. Rabbi Kaufman and the whole Megillah coming your way at 2 o'clock right here at Des Moines Local Live. Let's spend just a second on packaging. Because we talked about new and different things that are coming out, new and different treats. How important do you think it is that the packaging has to be spot on to catch the consumer's attention?
Really, the best example I can use, Michael, is our Rancher's Choice line.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a price point product, okay? Yeah. We've had it in our system ever since we started making pet food. It was a product that just kind of sat there. You know, we didn't put a lot of emphasis on it, but yet the packaging was plain, not attractive, and of course with the formulation was good, it fed good, but the thing
it had all the good stuff to it.
It was fine. Yeah. I mean, really, we the only thing we changed on our Rancher's Choice line was the packaging, we come out with the packaging. This has been it'd be a year and a half,
two years now,
I guess, and today it's our fastest growing product. We are into markets that we would never have touched at all. And one of the things that they always told us was not only price point, which people are very, very cautious of today, and it's really important to them, but this packaging, to everyone that has brought in this product of ours, they've said, we love the packaging.
Huh.
And they have put it on the shelf. We have had locations, and we've got a location in West Texas that come on with us here 6 months ago now, and within 2 weeks, our Rancher's Choice line, one product, become their number two seller.
Amazing.
And it was because of the packaging. Just putting it out there, people just it. And of course, you with a name like Rancher's Choice in West Texas, I mean,
it's got to work, right?
How much better could you be, you know? But,
absolutely.
But that along with the packaging, and it's amazing what that packaging did. That has just been a phenomenal success story for us.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest for the hour has been Gary Kubicek. He is the sales and marketing manager for a company known as Country Vet Pet Foods, also Running Horse. And, well, just it goes on and on and on. But thanks so much for coming in, Gary. It's been a pleasure, you know, having you here. And good luck at Pheasant Fest. You've got a big booth over there.
Yep.
And you're introducing a brand new product. If those of you who happen to be out there, ladies and gentlemen, are into pheasant hunting and you're headed down to Pheasant Fest, look our good friend Gary Kubicek up. Also, Lyle Steinman, don't forget he's going to be in the house for the next 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, doing a special program with regard to dogs and dog training. Thanks again, Gary. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does it for us. Rabbi David Kaufman coming up next. He is with the whole McGill. He'll take you up until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. We'll be back here, God willing, on Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful day.